thing I said in that message was that Abraham pursued the goal of his calling. He had to listen to the word of God and he had to do the will of God. And the third thing I said in that message was that Abraham praised the God of his calling. He appreciated the grace of God and he acknowledged the glory of God. Well, here we are 5 years later, and I'm sure that both of you could say with me, Pastor Jacques, we have perceived the grace of our calling. We have pursued the goal of our calling, and we have praised the God of our calling. I'm sure you could say that. We're looking forward to hear what God has done in you and through you over these last 5 years. Come and share with us what God has done. Church, please welcome Bert and Sandy McDonough.
Bonsoir.
Bonjour, Benny. Ooh. And I'm sure Pastor Jacques can maybe respond to that. That's God bless you, but that's in Creole. And that's a standard greeting that we share with our friends in Haiti.
It's truly been a privilege. Like as Jacques said, it's been 5 years we've been out. I think it's 3 years since we've been here. And it's truly is a privilege to be back with on home turf where we're faces that we see. We've had the privilege this summer of being here a little longer than normal due to our, just a little extra added bundle in our family. But we have actually been out west. We've visited a few churches and we've actually did some talks and we're ready to roll on our missions again in 2 weeks' time.
So, Bert shared a little, but I just have to get one thing cleared up. Bert was in a bar fight. And I know I shouldn't say that at Newcastle Fellowship Baptist Church, but I couldn't resist. These scrapes on his head, actually, he ran into a bar in a barn, and it kind of knocked him for a little loop. So he's got some pretty bad. He came home one night this week, and I said, "What have you done?" And anyway, he said he had blood dripping down his forehead. So anyway, now that that's out of the way, and you're in case you were wondering what happened there, I'm just going to give you just a little, a brief update on our lives. And it has been, according to our notes, 3.5 years since we've been here to speak. It was January 2014 was the last time that we'd participated with you, so it really is good to be back. Partly the reason of that is because we moved out of the Durham region. We're closer to Brittany and Mark, our daughter and son-in-law. So in April 2012, we moved to a place almost 3 hours northwest of here, a little hamlet called Roxeter. So it's here we share a house with them when we're home at Christmas and in the summer. We're worshiping at Gori Bible Fellowship, and that's a rural community church of about 300. It comes out of the Brethren roots, and that's been a real blessing to us as well. This summer, July 22nd, to be exact, we were blessed with a beautiful granddaughter, Delaney Alexandra. So she has brought us much joy, and we are loving our new roles as grandpa and grandma. Brittany, our daughter, has had a long recovery process due to some complications, and then 2 weeks ago had an emergency appendectomy when the baby was just 5 weeks old. But through God's goodness and through God's mercy, he had us still at home to help her through it all. So we give him the praise for that.
So on behalf of the Haitian Free Methodist Church, we give greetings on their behalf. And I'm just going to go through a few stats as we go through. I'll have to read them because they are stats. There are 104 churches plus another 52 church plants. Mostly of these church plants are rural. And I had the opportunity to talk with the bishop and about these. And I was asking, is it 10, 20, 30 people? He said, no, they're up to 250 people gathering without a church home. And there's 52 churches of them, and without the buildings. So there is needs there, but God is definitely at work. As of 2015, Haiti became its own general conference with Pastor DeVriest as the new bishop. He also pastors Port-au-Prince's largest church, having attendance between 4,000 and 4,500 weekly. And it's awesome to see him at work and the humbleness he has. So God is definitely at work in the Free Methodist Church there. But Haiti still needs a lot of physical help as the population is growing faster than the infrastructure. The natural disasters like the earthquake of 2010, Hurricane Matthew last year, and now Hurricane Irma have wreaked havoc. Haiti shares the west side of the island, Hispaniola, with the Dominican Republic. Now, Haiti is the poorest nation in the Western Hemisphere, with a size of about 27,750 square kilometers, about half the size of southern Ontario. It's predominantly Catholic, with voodoo worship intertwined with over half the population practicing. The population is now reaching 12 million people. So basically similar to what southern Ontario is, but it's mountainous. So you know how condensed the population really is. Life expectancy, the average age is 27. Life expectancy is 62.7. And the average annual income is $350 a year. As we reviewed our last 5 years in ministry in preparation for today, it made me think back to the main question people asked us, and that is, what led us down the path of missions? Why Haiti? And how long will we be there? It's now very easy to answer that. God called us to missions. He opened the doors for us to serve in Haiti, and we listened to his voice. I can say that now easier than before, but it wasn't that simple. For it's never easy to step out of faith, especially when it means standing out of the norm. There's a perceived pattern we follow in North American society. It starts at school at the age of 4. We finish at grade 12. We complete further education, get a job, get married, have children, buy a house. Some not always in that order. Heaven, raise our family, and always striving for the next thing. Then we retire and relax. For me, I had to question that. Was that what I wanted to do? Or was that what God wanted me to do? And was what God had planned for our family? But this meant I had to get out of the driver's seat. I had to listen, and most of all, I had to submit to God. And one thing I've learned about stepping out and walking in faith with God is that three things come to play: your faith, the facts, and fear. When stepping out in faith, before long, you begin to look at all the negative facts of the situation. You're not making enough money. You're not going to succeed. You're going to look foolish. Before long, if you allow fear to set in, and you just want to give up and go back to what you knew was safe. But over the past 5 years of ministry, we haven't continued to walk in faith. Is it easy? Not at all. But rather than dwelling on the negative, we listen to God's leading, and we look at the Joshua stones that have been accomplished in his name, the lives that have been changed, the doors that have been opened, and now based on the past facts, it becomes easier to walk in faith and not fear.
God's word reaffirms this as we read today in 1 Chronicles 28, when Solomon was called to be obedient to God. And you, my son Solomon, acknowledge the God of your father and serve him with wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches every heart and understands every motive behind the thought. If you forsake him, he will reject you forever. Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a temple as a sanctuary. Be strong and do the work.
Wow. Just like Pastor Jacques said, we are currently entering our sixth year in serving in Haiti. Hope Lives, a Canadian charitable organization, operates under the umbrella of the Free Methodist Church, and we serve in Claire Herousse Hospital, a jointly owned institution of church and state. The hospital's mission statement is to evangelize, to teach, and to heal, taking a holistic approach to the wellness of a patient spiritually, physically, and emotionally. Ian and Alice Van Norman, our mentors, have played a vital role in the development of the hospital facilities over the last 30 years. Their son, Rob, along with his wife, Heather, continue to carry out the vision under the name Hope Lives. Hope Lives is very instrumental in the ongoing development and oversight and their support of the hospital and more within Haiti and around the world. We continue to serve in the area of administration and accounting and developing of systems and procedures, planning and construction with the hospital and community, and it continues to be our goal to create a sustainable lifestyle for those we have opportunity to disciple and walk alongside.
So we'll just give you a brief overview of the hospital. The hospital is located in the Artibonite Valley and is an agricultural community known as the breadbasket of Haiti. It's located about 100 miles north of Port-au-Prince, where the hospital is the hub of the 35,000 person community and serves the area and outlying regions as well, which is a population of 425,000. The hospital averages 90 outpatient visits a day, has 42 beds available for inpatients, and delivers approximately 1,100 babies a year. The hospital is a nationally run hospital and employs 80 Haitians who also operate a full-service laboratory, pharmacy, and an X-ray and ultrasound facility. We have two OBGYNs, a pediatrician, an internist, and general practitioners. The hospital has recently opened an eye and dental clinic to serve the community as well.
The hospital's chaplain, Herance, starts each day at 6:30 with prayer and devotions for those patients waiting for outpatient care. A staff devotion time is also held at 8 a.m., where all staff are invited to join in prayer, song, and biblical teaching. This is then followed by a chaplain praying individually with the patients, and spiritually and physical needs are discovered during these rounds, and often funds for food are provided.
The hospital is referred to as a poor hospital, as it serves people of very limited means and charges very low service fees. A doctor's consult equivalent is about $2 US, and a regular maternity visit is approximately $20 US. There are no meals or bedding provided, meaning the family must take care of the patient. This isn't always possible, but the hospital does not reject anyone due to lack of financial means. Claire Herousse has become a referral hospital from its humble beginnings as a 6-bed clinic. The hospital has been rated one of the top 3 hospitals in Haiti for their excellent maternity services, which has given them the title Maternity of Excellence status. And it's often used as a model for a well-functioning hospital. In 2012, to achieve this status of referral, it meant some upgrades would be necessary to provide the services required.
We're able to come alongside the hospital leadership and discuss and plan for the current and expected growth needs of the maternity, which consists of a new 9-bed ward, semi-private and private rooms, 6-bed labor room, 3-bed delivery room, and eclampsia rooms. We also took into consideration future growth of the entire hospital as well, plus the added infrastructure needs like septic, water, and electrical. The logistical needs were reviewed for patient and family requirements. We have always found it very interesting to watch the dynamics of the family nucleus. When a woman comes to deliver a baby, she may arrive with 5, 6, or more family members who may sleep on the floor, our spare beds, use the showers, flush the toilets, and charge their cell phones. All construction had to be conducted without impeding the hospital day-to-day operations. Throughout this process, a 2-phase plan was developed, which has now become reality.
So the work started in January 2013. There was a humble storage depot, which was converted to the new maternity ward. Septic tanks were dug by hand. A 4-pack married the original hospital to the existing maternity ward. And a 2-story addition for administration and training space was developed. Bert knew in order to create sustainability, he would train and employ Haitian workers. The project took just over 2 years, and he had up to 30 plus guys on his crew. And to witness that, not being overly fluent in the language and working with a Haitian crew, it had its challenges, but it had so many blessings. And it remains a great time of discipleship. They start each day with prayer and worship and walking alongside each man, training, applying biblical principles to their daily work ethic, teaching responsibility, sustainability, and developing friendships. It is wonderful to see how the lives of these young men have been enhanced.
Nick was a smiley young man when he came to work with us, his grin bigger than his desire to make a lasting impression on his boss. He was actually fired from the job site because he thought his charm was more important than his work ethic. But Nick, however, he needed a job, as he had a madam and a child and no income. He was given a second opportunity, and through discipleship and daily training, he became a very valuable guy with trained skills. He became so valuable that when our son Jordan went to Haiti, he asked if he could take Nick to work alongside him, which he did on clean water projects. Nick's job was 2 hours from his family, so he had Jordan deduct money from his pay so that he could bring his family to Titian and pay for rent. Nick is also being encouraged to read his Bible, attend church, and get married. We know God isn't finished with him yet.
When we talk about When we talk about sustainability, our rules with our workers for borrowing are that we will loan the funds required, but 50% must be repaid. So let's say Nick needed $200 US to fund his child's schooling. He's loaned the money, and then his wages are guaranteed, taking weekly increments until it's paid back. This has taught life skills in money management that have proved to be beneficial. And if we don't know them and they come to us, we rely on discernment. Sometimes it's a quick prayer, Lord, what would you have us do? Other times we have more time to think about it. We get daily requests for payment of medical bills, purchases at the pharmacy, help with school bills, food from the market, right down to, as this picture shows, my goat got loose and I have to pay to get it back or it will be killed.
So Danny, he's another story. He demonstrates the benefits of teaching sustainability. Danny showed up on our job site and he was fit and very well, a hard worker. At the end of the day, Ian and I conversed about what a good hire he was. And Ian looked at me and said, I did not hire him. And I said, I didn't hire him either. He actually had shown up on the site to replace his pregnant madame who was doing work for us without telling anyone. We kept him on because he had shown himself such a hard worker. Shortly after that, he came to Sandy and I looking for a loan for his garden. He wanted to plant crops, but just didn't have the cash to do it. He said he would repay us, and he put in an honest day's work, so we thought, well, we'd help him out. Generally speaking, when you give money like that, it's usually gone. But in this case, it was very interesting to see what happened. A few short months later, when crops were finished, he called us to see him, beaming with pride. There he stood with cash. He had all the cash that he had been loaned, and some crops from his garden. We were overwhelmed. Since then, Danny has planted 7 gardens, has croppers working for him. At the same time, he holds down a maintenance job at the hospital. He's definitely an example of hard work and integrity.
North American short-term construction teams have been used for electrical, plumbing, and maintenance work. But even then, the emphasis is on training Haitians. When a short-term team member comes to help, they are asked to work directly with a Haitian to teach their skills, train, and disciple. This approach has worked well, and although it takes extra patience and not always getting as much work done as an eager team comes down wanting to accomplish, it fits in with our vision and Hope Lives' vision for creating a sustainable lifestyle for each person we have opportunity to. instilling the well-known proverb of teaching a man to fish rather than feeding a man a fish. Hope Lives does need teams to help accomplish ministry. Generally, a team that comes to serve with our ministry should be a benefit to the hospital. This willing team of smiling faces came to work with our local pastor through a vacation Bible school in an outlying village. But in their spare time, they helped us get ready for the inauguration that was happening from the construction project by installing ceiling fans that they had purchased and brought in for the hospital. Remember the hospital's mission? Evangelize, teach, and heal. A team can also come in and minister to the patients and staff alongside the chaplain. And by working alongside the local pastor in development of further biblical teaching areas within the hospital and community. This slide was a midweek Bible study we had helped initiate. Teaching abounds in coming alongside in medicine, human resources, administrative management, maintenance, construction. Healing is also accomplished through medical teams offering medical services. Currently, on a short-term team basis, we have general surgeons, anesthesiologists, nurses, cataract surgeons, ophthalmologists, and dentists serving with the hospital. This slide is one of my favorites, as it not only shows the medical intervention being provided, but it also captures the surgeons stopping to pray over this patient before the work begins. God worked in amazing ways, actually, through this team of pictures that I had just shown you. That group of surgeons were finished their work in the hospital, so we decided we'd take them out of Dessalines on a drive to the countryside. When we arrived in the village of Bois Marie, we were greeted by the pastor's wife there, and we could see she was distraught. She needed our help. A young family just the day before had lost everything in a house fire, including the few earthly possessions they had. And this picture actually, if you can just go back, this picture actually shows there was only a few things left around the yard, and one of them was pages out of their Bible. And that was heart-wrenching. So we walked the humble path to their plot of land and found the family of five huddled around a tree. Were we there by coincidence that day? Of course not. God, in his infinite mercy and wisdom, had us take the team to the small town of Bois Marie because he needed our help. We were called to be the hands and feet of Jesus. We prayed, we sang, we encouraged, and we gave. We look forward to checking on progress of their house reconstruction when we return in a couple of weeks.
This is Silvian in the middle. He's one of my main guys down there now. He's just a young guy, and hopefully I will do this without emotion here. He's a training success story. He was sent to finish high school at the age of 32, but due to a motorcycle accident, was not able to take his final exam. We were not in Haiti at the time the accident happened, but we were able to help him out. And when we returned, we found him with a serious foot injury, wasting his days away sitting under a little shade tree. He almost lost his whole foot, and it was just by the power of God that through it all, that the right doctors, everything was at the right place at the right time. I knew from a previous experience he was a smart guy and had a lot to offer. So we decided that we would develop him on the construction site. He first was in the tool room at tool room management. Silvian spent his days in the hospital depot managing the coming and goings of all the tools and supplies with the construction workers. And over 3 years, not once was there something stolen or lost, which is quite a feat in itself. He was so capable at his job that he's quickly moved himself up the ladder and now serves at the hospital as a full-time inventory and maintenance supervisor. He has developed management skills through training that is much needed in the vast array of hospital employees. He's happy to share his story and all that Jesus has given him. One of the stories that I do talk about was when we were first there out, a lot of the times a boss is a boss. The guy who mixes the concrete mixes the concrete. The laborer is a laborer. And you can never move up the ladder. That's basically what you are. So one day I was asking the guys, would they like to do something different? What would you like to do to be a boss? And they were a little bit dumbfounded. And I said, your first step is to find a replacement for yourself. Sylvain took it on himself to do just that. And not only that, he kept pushing for other people to do it. So he actually had his replacement was Danny. And Danny had a replacement, so it worked down the ladder. So we now have, rather than one boss, I have three main bosses that can do several jobs within the community.
I continue to monitor the hospital's external donations, which are needed to meet monthly budget requirements at the hospital. My role has aided in the development of more accurate financial statements, a balanced cash system, and keeping payroll current and faces smiling over the past 5 years. The pharmacy has been reworked and the sales have increased. Hope Live's next steps are to help implement inventory systems and procedures for medical equipment and supplies, along with specialized training in these areas with the staff. Hope Lives looks forward to mentoring and training in all areas of the hospital for future sustainability. In my spare time, you may also find me in the ward praying with the patients, visiting the mums and babes, handling bookkeeping for the construction and compound, and being a liaison and coordinator for incoming short-term teams.
I also keep busy wearing a few hats. Overseeing our compound, maintenance and upkeep, the maintenance of the hospital, a doctor's house, a nurse's residence, the community health facilities. The gated compound that we live at is on a 2-acre piece of property on the side of the mountain and is made up of two main buildings, long-term apartments and a team facility. Both buildings have the privilege to have full-time electricity from a generator, inverter, battery, system that some may be aware of, and running cold water with indoor plumbing. Part of the work over the past year has involved the increase of security at our compound by raising the gates and the front wall. Why is this necessary? It's a big responsibility to oversee a compound which houses both nationals and short-term teams, where the white person, or as they would say, the blanc, are perceived to have much money and wealth. Our team's safety is always a first concern. We may not always understand what that means, but it's hard. While all this other work is going on, the hospital construction project continues. And in March 2015, shortly after the team here left, the hospital addition was dedicated to God's glory. It was a proud moment when all was completed and the new improved maternity facilities with washrooms, private and semi-private rooms, labor and delivery and eclampsia rooms were all in use. Along with the two new ORs, the X-ray and ultrasound, and an emergency room. Plus a second story administration area were all ready to help accomplish the mission of evangelizing, teaching, and healing.
Recently, we had the opportunity to participate in a community health clinic in the mountains. It was a treacherous drive, as you can see there, and actually, I wasn't going to be allowed to go because we were going to have a six-hour hike up the mountain that we might have to use donkeys, and they told me that I wasn't fit enough to go. Well, you know, anyway, we'll just leave that one alone. But I decided that it would be just such a wonderful opportunity to go up and see that part of Haiti that I said that I was as fit as them. And if they could do it, I could do it. So we set out, but we never ended up having to hike. The roads were dry enough that we drove, and it was an extremely treacherous drive, and the drive down was worse. At one point, we had our medical director, Haitian medical director hanging on the back seat, screaming that Bert had to slow down or he was going to die. So, anyway.
One of their assumptions here was that Canada doesn't have mountains, and I actually lived in BC, and that's where I learned how to drive on the back roads. So mountains were common to me. So interesting, when we got up there, they would even say, so do you have a place like this? Up, and I would say, we actually have places in Canada that you could put all Haiti and there would be nobody there. And they were dumbfounded by a lot of that.
So we arrived up in the mountains to a wet, cold, windy surroundings. And it really was very cold. We left probably 90 degrees and got up there to about 45 degrees. A gracious elderly lady had given up her plot of land with a few houses to allow us, being the community health clinic, to move in for a few days. The accommodations were humble, to say the least, and it stretched me beyond what I thought possible. But it was a remarkable ministry experience. People walked miles to see the doctor for prenatal and HIV care, family planning, vaccinations, and general health concerns. We contemplated raising funds to build a clinic, but decided to reevaluate our North American priorities when we saw how healthy and happy these people were. In Dessalines, the town that we live in, you're hard-pressed to find a person over 40 who does not battle hypertension or diabetes due to a poor diet and lack of exercise. Here, in 140 visits, they did not see one that had hypertension or diabetes. So this 90-year-old plus lady, we're not sure of her exact age, came with a few complaints. She had a little bit of a loss of appetite, blurry vision, and a few aches and pains. And if you could have seen her calf muscles, it was incredible from the walking. So I say all that to say sometimes we think our way is the better way, and that's not always the case. It really takes getting to know the people and the area and evaluating and not thinking that our way's always better.
We continue to work closely in a mentoring partnership with the medical director and hospital administrator. These are two young, enthusiastic nationals who are eager for change. Both of them could easily be employed in North America, but have chosen to stay as they love and want to serve and improve their country. Together, in 2016, with Sandy and I, we were able to complete a 20-year strategic plan, which they've worked alongside together on, and it continues to be exciting times. When Hope Lives reviewed some of their initial goals when we first were on the ground, one was to have the hospital board, the leadership, and Hope Lives all unified with the same strategy and vision. God has given the glory that this has become reality, and furthermore, the state has now come alongside us and offered their support for the vision. What is the vision? In part, it's the desire to have a clean, safe, secure, professional hospital. It is apparent before moving forward that there is a need to be responsible for what God has already provided. Building a better hospital doesn't just mean the structure. It means sustainable systems, procedures, and ethics. All in all, it means walking together step by step in partnership. The short-range plan for the coming year is to maximize the existing hospital site. This will happen by continuing to renovate the original hospital structure, providing room for new and updated services.
We, together with Hope Lives, trust and seek God for the future of the hospital, knowing and believing that when we acknowledge Him, He will direct our paths. The story does not end here, though. There's more. Sometimes we hesitate to talk about this because it's not always pretty, but it's honest. God's word calls us to be strong and courageous. Doing God's work in a faraway country where we will always be foreigners isn't always welcomed by the nationals, and it definitely is not always easy. We face persecution in many ways, for the changes we are trying to make, from those who are trying to wear us down from furthering God's active work in Dessalines, and even brother against brother in a claim for the work being done. We have to admit we get discouraged. We're miles away from our family and friends, and now a new granddaughter, in a different culture where we are not fully understood. Sometimes our energy is completely zapped, trying to problem solve and fight injustices and discern needs, that we lose the ability to see clearly and through the eyes of Christ. When my dad was sick in Princess Margaret, we had a sign in his room which read, "God can do it, you can help." It's so true. We thank you so much for your prayers and your ongoing encouragement, and we promise we will remember Solomon's words to his son, David, in 1 Chronicles 28:20. And that verse says, "Be strong and courageous and do the work. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you until all the work for the service of the temple of the Lord is finished."
We'd love to chat and answer any questions you have. We are always looking for developing Canadian teams to serve in Marchant-Dessalines. We also have prayer cards with our contact and giving information. Our funds are now directed through MSC Canada, a long-standing mission that believes in a church-driven mission committed to God's supply. That simply means that you, as a sending church, are spiritual guidance on the field, and that MSC will forward 100% of the funds received, believing that as long as God continues to call us to Haiti, the funds will come in and enable us to ministry. God bless. Bonje bende u.
And I'll just add just our personal thank you to Newcastle Fellowship Baptist for your continued support of our ministry, not our ministry, of the ministry God has called us to. It enables us to continue doing the work there. And we're also very grateful, and I didn't want to miss this opportunity, for the donations and hard work that come from, I know, definitely two areas in this church, and one is the Jamaican Paddy fundraiser that's done in December, and also to from a group of single women who give faithfully. They give up lunch dates, lunch out at restaurants, and collect that money, and it goes to us. And those type of things, obviously, you know, our work there is important, but there's so much benevolent work that we are so appreciative of the help, like the family that's house is burnt down. We're able to take those funds and use them for that. So God is working in Haiti. It's not always easy, and like I said, it's not always pretty, but we know he will be faithful to us because we want to be obedient to him. So thank you for having us, and hopefully it's not 3.5 years until we get back this way again, but thank you.